The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Reddy, broker, Century 21, Jack Reddy Real Estate. Happy New Year. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We have with us today Bob Warner, Bob Warner Heating and Cooling Company. How are you?
Good, Jackie. Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we cover many real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have, or if you'd like to suggest a topic that we haven't covered, send it to questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and see what's going on at the corners.
View our listings or search the MLS listings or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, and check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Once again, good morning to Bob Warner, Bob Warner Heating and Cooling Company. How are you?
Good, Jackie. How are you today?
Great. I'm looking forward to our discussion. You've been here in the past with us. We've talked about heating and cooling because that's what you are an expert in, that field. You've done a lot of work for Pat and I at our home and our family's home and our business. We know you're reliable and professional and do great, exceptional work. And we thank you for all of that. How do you want to kick off our talk today, our discussion regarding heating? Because we are in...
We're in the heating season.
The prime season. What's the difference between a furnace and a boiler?
Ugh. Well, a boiler boils water for steam, or it heats it for hot water. And a furnace is hot air, Jack.
I usually do, and this is going back several years before we had you on the show, I usually would call everything that's square box in the basement a furnace, but there is a difference between a furnace and a boiler.
Yeah, a furnace is a warm air furnace that makes warm air, where a boiler is either steam or hot water.
Okay, good. And a hot water heater, is it called a hot water heater or just a water heater? As someone just recently pointed out to me, because you can't call it a hot water heater, which I do. Well, can't call it a hot water heater because the water's already hot.
It's a hot water heater in our town. It's definitely a hot water heater.
Is that what our area is?
Yeah, it's a water heater. Okay, hot water heater.
What do efficiency ratings mean?
It means how much money you're getting out of your fuel that you're burning. The higher the efficiency rating is, the better the consumption of fuel per BTU you're getting out of it. Like with a furnace, 95 plus means you're getting 95 cents worth of heat out of a dollar's worth of gas. So the higher the efficiency rating,
the better
you are. Yeah.
The better you are. Yep. So in that respect, if you focus on the efficiency rating, aren't you supposed to also be looking at other things such as size, brand?
Well, the government regulates efficiency ratings on most appliances. They want them to meet requirements to be efficient enough to be produced. So like on a steam boiler, they just changed everything from standing pilot with the old pilot lights to spark ignition or glow bar ignition, where you're not burning a pilot light, so that increased the efficiency a little on them. And your warm air furnaces are mostly all power vented now, instead of the old chimney vented models where a lot of heat went up your chimney. So they improved a lot.
But I can get a high efficiency rating and put an undersized or oversized boiler or furnace into my house, and then what am I really accomplishing?
Well, you're losing efficiency because it's got to run twice as much. You want to have the right size, Jack.
Size matters.
Size.
Oh, God, how did I know this was coming?
You know, size matters. Size definitely matters.
Okay.
You don't want too big of a unit, Jack.
Or too small.
Or too small, right?
That'd be just right.
So how can I tell if my furnace is energy efficient? I'm sure it is because you installed it, but how could someone tell if it's energy efficient?
Well, if it's the newer, the better, because when your unit gets over 20 years old, they claim the efficiency rating is gone on it because every so many years they increase the efficiency of the models. So if you have an old boiler, it's inefficient. Anything over 20, 25, 30 years old, you're losing efficiency on it. But the most important thing is your house that it's in. Is your house energy efficient? You could have a brand new boiler, but if
your windows are single pane
windows and no insulation, you're going to just burn a lot of fuel.
Okay. Excellent point. A lot of times we go into homes that are older. Now the boiler works. It works just fine. It heats the house. The radiators get hot, so on and so forth. But it's a 30 plus year old furnace boiler. And so the efficiency there
is not as good as a new one, of course. When they're buying the house that has a 30, 40 year old boiler, you got to tell them, well, figure in on
soon
getting a new boiler soon.
It operates, it functions, yep. It's heating the house. However,
you should update it.
Okay.
Same thing goes with, you know, all the units. If they're old, they're inefficient.
So what should people consider when they're replacing heating systems?
Well, you want to get the most efficient unit you could get. And of course, you want to have someone qualified to put it in. You don't want a backyard mechanic pulling up and
Uncle Sal?
Yeah, and piping a boiler for you and not knowing really the right and wrong way to do things.
And that's an excellent point because there are a lot of handy people.
Yeah, leave the handyman to doing handiwork, but not putting a boiler in your house that could cost you money. That's you're wasting money because it wasn't put in right. You could have a good boiler, but if it's not installed right.
So proper installation is very important.
Very important, yeah.
Okay. So they should be licensed, qualified.
Yeah. If you're in a town like Scranton, you need a heating license and you need proof of insurance. You don't want some guy that's going to come in your house and maybe possibly burn it down and not have any insurance because he did the job wrong and now you have nothing to go back on, or a month down the road it don't work and you call them up and you can't get them to come back.
Do you need a permit?
Yeah, you need a permit in the city, and Dunmore, you need licensed insured contractors. That's something you should ask when you're getting any work done. Are you licensed and insured? How long are you doing it? How long are you in business? You don't want a guy that comes and says, well, I've been doing it like a year now, or I do it on the side. That's what I go up against a lot.
Guys
that do it on the side. So they're not really in business, but they know how to do it, they'll say, you know.
How long have you been doing what you do?
I'm doing it 30 years plus, you know.
Your dad did it before you? He used to take you along as a little kid on all the jobs?
Yeah, since 62. He's not with us no more, but... And then I kind of grew up doing it, but right out of high school, that's all I ever did.
I remember your dad used to come on jobs with you, and I miss your dad. He was a very nice guy.
Yeah, he was a good man.
Knew his stuff. He knew everything. He could just glance at something, and he knew exactly what it was. Or, I did this house 30 years ago, I heard him say one time.
Yeah, there's not too many streets we go down in the valley here that we put a boiler in.
Should we be considering certain brands?
Well, brands are like cars, Jackie. Everybody has a brand
a
that they like,
yes.
A preference.
Yes.
All of them are made to meet government specifications. They all have to meet requirements.
Okay, so
some
don't
are
name
better
names.
Than others.
All right, don't name names, but do you work with certain types?
I try to use the local ones that the people sell right in our area here in our town. So when you need a part,
you can get it.
You could get it. Yeah, I don't like to use off brands that are from far away. Or I try to use the local products that people stock parts for.
Okay. Good to know.
And American made, if I could.
Excellent. Yes.
Which is getting harder and harder.
We just bought a TV and...
Yeah, she says, is there one made in America? I says, not in this store. Unbelievable. None of the electronics are made here anymore. Even the switches. You had to replace a piece on a boiler. It said made in Mexico on it.
Yeah, nothing's... It's very hard to find American made.
We try, but like you said, it's difficult. What's a good temperature to keep our thermostat?
Where you're comfortable.
80.
Don't tell her that. 80. Don't tell her that. No, no, no. No.
That's right, really.
65.
Well, he went away. He went to his parents for a day with Patrick, our son, and I was.
Should crank the heat up.
Yes, I was turning every thermostat up, jacking it up.
I went into my dad's house. His house is brand new. He was repaired after Hurricane Sandy. When I was a kid growing up, because he worked for Con Edison, which is the utility company, I said, "Dad, I'm cold." He said, "Put a sweater on." Now I go down to the house because he's pushing 90, and I went to his house, and the thermostat was at 72. And I couldn't believe it. He goes, I don't care anymore. He says, "I'm getting old."
All right. So should we have programmable thermostats? Are we saving anything with the programmable?
If you're using it the right way, yeah, you will save.
What's the right way?
The right way is a few degrees difference. If you're not going to be home all day and you want to knock it down 2, 3 degrees, even 4 degrees. But anything more than that, the boiler or furnace has to run longer to heat everything back up that was cooled down while you weren't there.
So yeah, when you're coming home and you want a toaster, you're turning it up, you're spending. You didn't save anything.
You didn't save because now you're heating up cold walls, cold furniture, and you're feeling cold even though it's set and, you know, it's reading what it's set at, but kind of the temperature you set it at, and if you just leave it, seems to work the best for most people.
You've always said that.
Yeah. Pick where you're comfortable and leave it alone.
So how long do furnaces last? How long do boilers last? Are there different ages for those units? Does one last longer than the other?
Well, a boiler, I've seen boilers 50 years old because people took care of them and flushed them out and maintenanced them every year. But it don't mean they're running efficiently.
Right.
A 50-year-old boiler is not efficient no more. Should have been changed after 30 years. If you got 30 years, throw it away. Get a new one. It's like a car. Even if it's working, yeah. You're losing money when you're heating your house with it.
I see, not a lot, but I'll see from time to time some boilers that used to be coal.
And they're
converted. Yes.
Yeah, the efficiency on that is terrible. 50, 60% efficient, if that, some of them. It's like a car. It's used up, get a new one. People don't like to change a boiler. It's something they don't think about. It's in the cellar. No one could see it. They can't brag to their neighbor, "Hey, look at my new boiler." But if it was a car, they could tell everybody and show them. So that's why they don't change the boiler. But it keeps them warm and their pipes from freezing.
Well, this is the last, I would think, at this time of year. This is not the time you want to think about.
No, you have all summer long to change your boiler.
Because you have to make an immediate decision because you can't be without heat.
You don't want to be without heat. It's got to be done in a day.
So you're making a decision quickly. Yeah. So maybe some things are overlooked. So, I mean, do it when it's an off season, right?
Yeah, it's like air conditioning. People think about air conditioning the first day it's 90 out. And they're like, "Oh, well, we really would like air conditioning." Well, I guess you would. I'm not going in your attic when it's 90 out. Call me in the winter.
Well, or there's an expense to pay if that's the case, right? You have to add that into them.
Yeah, you got
to
figure that in a little bit.
All right. We're headed towards a break. We're with Bob Warner from Bob Warner Heating and Cooling. Thank you for your time here with us today. We're having an excellent discussion. Before we go to break, Pat, would you like to review some listings?
Yes, we have a great investment opportunity. This is a 3-unit building at 917 Wood Street in Scranton for $104,000. This building has 1 3-bedroom apartment and 2 2-bedroom apartments. It has separate heat and water, and it's got plenty of cash flow. It has long-term tenants, off-street parking, a large yard, original woodwork, and trim. It has also just been painted, and it has new carpeting. That's a 3-unit at 917 Wood Street in Scranton with separate utilities for $104,000, and that's listed by Dan Taylor of our office.
Thank you, Pat. I have with us today Greater Scranton Board of Realtors multi-list statistics for Lackawanna, Luzerne, Pike, Wayne, and Wyoming counties. How are people paying for single-family homes? 33% came to the closing table with cash. They did not have to go to a lender or bank for financing. 36.5% paid with a conventional type of mortgage. That's your Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type of loan. 22% went with an FHA. That's the Federal Housing Administration type of mortgage. 2.2% used rural housing. And 3.7% used a VA, a Veterans Administration type of mortgage. We will return in just a few moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jruddy.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. You're rejoining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And we have with us today Bob Warner, who owns Bob Warner Heating and Cooling Company. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
Excellent. We had a great discussion the first half of the show. We talked a lot about energy efficiency. One of the things you did mention to me is that today's furnaces, warm air systems, are power vented as opposed to being vented out of a chimney. Through a chimney. What's the right
word? Yeah, chimney vented. There still are chimney vented models. They're less efficient. They're 80% units they're referred to as, and you could still vent them into a chimney. If you have a flue-lined internal chimney, it's okay to do it.
It has to be flue-lined.
It has to be a flue-lined chimney.
Okay. So they still sell systems that you can vent
into a chimney.
All right. But there's power vented systems. A lot of people, you're installing systems that are power vented. What does that mean?
It means it has a draft-induced blower that blows the exhaust gases out through PVC pipe or stainless steel pipe out through a side wall instead of going up through a chimney. Because modern houses now being built, they're not building chimneys in them. So they're saving the expense of building a chimney. And all the efficiency, high efficiency boilers and furnaces made now are power vented. So it's the new way to go.
Can you get other appliances that are power vented?
Yeah, you could get a hot water boiler that's power vented. Or if you have an old existing steam boiler in your house, like a 100-year-old house in our city here, and your chimney goes bad because of deterioration or the flue is collapsing in it, you could power vent an existing old steam boiler if you have the requirements it meets to get it out through a side wall with window openings and things of that sort. You could power vent it out.
Good to know. Should people have smoke alarms and
carbon monoxide detectors?
Yes.
Yeah, if you're burning natural gas especially, or fuel oil or coal, wood, anything, you should have a CO detector in your basement, one upstairs in your living area, and definitely smoke alarms. Smoke alarm in the basement, in your living areas, they're cheap and they'll save your lives.
I like them being hardwired where they're all interconnected and they have the battery backup. That's what we have in the house. We have a carbon monoxide on every level, one in the basement. We have them everywhere.
Yeah, they sell them everywhere now, especially CO detectors. They have nice ones with digital readouts so that if it does go off, you could tell how many parts per million are in there. I mean, cooking gives you CO from a gas stove, unvented space heaters. And if your chimney blocks, you want to know that
sure.
You're getting carbon monoxide in your house. It's an odorless gas that'll kill you.
What can a homeowner do themselves to maintain their furnace?
Well, for a furnace, you need to make sure your air filter is staying clean. Most people use a 30-day throwaway air filter. After 30 days, you pull it out, you slide a new one in. And make sure all your vents are open and not being blocked off by furniture bookcases, whatever, especially return airs on a warm air system, is just as important as the air blowing out. You need that return air coming back in, and especially keep debris and clutter away from your unit. You don't want dryer vents blowing in the basement and sucking in lint and dirt and dust if people are doing woodworking or anything in the basement and your boiler or furnace is there. You want to try to keep that away from it. A lot of places we go, there'll be older people that are doing woodworking, and they don't realize all that sawdust is being sucked right into their burners, and it's killing the efficiency because now they're not burning at the right capacity. They're getting clogged up. You go there and the boiler ran for an hour to heat the house, and when you're done cleaning it, now it only has to run a half hour because the flame is the proper size again and on the burners. They think because it's a gas boiler, it doesn't need to be cleaned. Oh, gas burns clean. Well, it's the debris and all the dust and dirt in your air that's getting your burners dirty. That's what's getting dirty in there, and now it's not burning clean no more, and your lower cutoffs and safety controls need to be checked. You have to flush the boiler out every week or two and try to keep the mud and debris out of that lower cutoff.
Low water cutoffs.
Lower cutoff is on there as a safety feature. If your boiler runs low on water, it shuts it off so it don't come on and burn up the boiler. Or if a pipe springs a leak and the water drains out of the boiler, it'll again keep it from running. So it's a safety feature. But if you don't flush it and maintain it, it's not going to work for you. So don't be surprised when your boiler runs without water in it and you need to buy a new boiler.
How often should they be drained?
Every 2 weeks, they say, during the heating season, give it a flush until it runs kind of clear and why it's running, and you could actually hear it shutting down.
These are the steam systems you're talking about, the older steam systems.
Yeah, on a steam boiler. Flush it out, you'll hear it shut off, then when you close it, it'll come back on and fill back up to the line on the glass.
Yeah, we had a home inspector here one time. He says you should drain it completely in the spring, fill it up and drain it again. He says you should do that once or twice a year to get all the muck out. Would you agree with that?
Well, the least amount of fresh water you're putting into a steam boiler is the best.
Because really?
You're adding chlorine, and that eats away at the boiler itself. So if you're flushing it on a normal cycle, why it's running, why it's getting all that mud and debris out of it.
So public water, not well water.
Well water's okay.
But the public systems, we have chlorine in our
chlorinating. Yeah, right. Chlorine eats away at cast iron.
See, I wouldn't have thought of that.
So just run it until the water runs clear and then shut it off.
Yeah, just until it runs clear and shut it off, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't need to drain the whole system, twice a year. There's really no need for that.
All right, we'll be doing that again.
Yeah, when we clean a boiler, we put an additive in there, a rust preventative. It changes the water green in the gauge glass, and it stops the rust from sticking in there so that you could flush it out easy and keeps it nice and clean that way.
All right, we got an appointment for you when we're done here. Something you have to come and look at.
How about autofills? I think my father was really against an autofill on a system, but are they manufactured differently today?
Yeah, the old water feeders could flood the boiler. Again, if you didn't flush your low water cutoff on there, that's what operated the automatic water feed. So people that weren't flushing them out on a regular basis, they'd stick on when they'd tell the boiler to put water in it, and they'd have water coming out the radiators. Where nowadays, they have programmable water feeders. You program how much water goes in, and it'll only do it two consecutive times, and then it'll go into a lockout mode. So if you program it to put 2-3 gallons in, it'll only do that twice, right in a row. And you know something's wrong because it'll say lockout on it, and if the boiler's still calling for water, you'll see that. So you won't flood the house unless you got a major malfunction of some other thing going on. But well, they're a lot better than they were years ago. Yeah.
Yes. Well, he was, in addition to real estate, he was also in insurance, and he saw many
insurance claims of water damage.
Too many.
People didn't want to go in the basement to put water in it, but you still have to flush the boiler out. So, the water feeders were good for if you went away for a week or something, you had something to fall back on. You didn't have to let people in your house to put water in the boiler for you. But they thought, once you get that automatic feeder on, now I don't need to touch the boiler no more.
And that's not the case.
That's not the case. You still have to flush it and maintain the loader cutoff to make sure that it's working properly.
You bring up an excellent point. What about people that go away? Like, there's a lot of people that go away for a couple of months now, especially. And they're down, you know, in Florida, wherever, warmer climate. They still need someone in there.
They need someone checking their house.
Yeah.
There's no getting around it. Because if a water pipe freezes and breaks while they're gone, there you go.
Right.
If the boiler shuts down, the heat's off. You know, the frozen pipes.
How can someone improve the efficiency of an existing heating system without replacing it?
Well, you can't improve the efficiency of a system. It's designed to be so efficient as from the manufacturer. If it's a 85% efficient, that's the maximum it could be. But you can maintain the efficiency of it by keeping it clean. By getting it cleaned every year, you're keeping it burning at the 85% efficiency level of it. That's what we were talking about with dirty burners. People, they'll say, oh my God, it heats my house now in 15, 20 minutes. It was running for a half hour, 45 minutes before. Well, a lot of them, when I see the burners are real dirty, I'll show them the flame underneath, how big it only is. Then when we're done, it's twice the size. So now it's burning effectively, and you're getting the heat out of it that it's supposed to be producing. So it's important to keep it clean. Clean is efficient, especially with oil. Oil's very unforgiving. If you don't have it serviced yearly, your efficiency just keeps going down and down and down. The layers of soot inside the boiler acts like insulation on it. So if the flame ain't hitting the metal directly going up through the boiler and it's got the layer of soot built up, that's like insulating the metal. So a clean boiler is an efficient boiler.
Now, is this something that a professional is required to do? You wouldn't suggest that somebody take this upon themselves?
No, I wouldn't suggest it on yourself to clean your own boiler unless you had some kind of training to do it. I mean,
I watched a video.
Yeah. I get a lot of that. People watching videos. It's, you know.
Yeah.
But.
No, we don't even attempt. No, we wouldn't do that.
Yeah, if you want to make your house black from it not burning right, yeah, I mean, go right ahead. You know? I don't turn anybody against doing their own work, but.
No, but this is where you come in.
Some things are better left done by someone else, you know?
Yeah, sometimes a little knowledge is very dangerous.
Yeah, I think I could operate on myself a lot of times.
Well, I'll operate on you. Let me not worry about it.
Maybe I should go to a hospital and let them do it. I could probably do the same thing, but I don't think I would.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Pat's very handy, and this is something that I know that he wouldn't even attempt. You.
I don't think I'd let him operate on it.
No. Well, no. I'm talking about the boiler. Okay. We had an excellent discussion with you today, Bob Warner from Bob Warner Heating and Cooling. Thank you so much for your time. Would you come back with us next week?
Sure, Jack. We'll be back.
Thanks. Pat?
Yes. We have a very nice 3-bedroom ranch-style home at 1506 Greenridge Street in Dunmore for only $99,000. This home has a low-maintenance yard, beautiful hardwood floors, a sunroom, and a partially finished basement. It also has two driveways for plenty of off-street parking and plenty of natural light throughout this lovely ranch. This is all in a great location. That's a 3-bedroom ranch-style home at 1506 Greenridge Street in Dunmore for only $99,000, and that's listed by Nick Lawler of our office.
Two nearby cities in Northeast PA have been named quarterfinalists in the America's Best Communities competition. The grand prize is to be determined in April, and it's going to be for $3 million for a revitalization effort. Out of 400 cities, Scranton and Wilkes-Barre have both made it to this round, along with 48 other communities. Cities were judged by a panel based on their context and commitment, community identity, economic development, and vision and impact. The 50 quarterfinalists each received $50,000 to help develop a community revitalization plan. Next, the towns are looking to make it to the semifinals of 15 cities, so stay tuned.
I love it up here. I wouldn't go back to New York.
I love it up here.
You love
the mountains, the trees, the grass.
You guys got it all.
And the friendliness.
Yes.
For the most part.
People let you go in traffic. They're not screaming at you.
They're not rude.
Not as rude.
Not nearly as rude.
No.
And driving is a little bit more sedate.
Oh, it's a lot more sedate. Mm-hmm. You can tell how close we are to New York. Jackie says, I know how close we are to New York by how close you are to the car in front of us.
I feel like I'm in somebody else's trunk half the time. That's what I feel like.
You're not getting in front of me.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Happy New Year.